I believe. Yep, I'm on. I'm powered up. Check, check. Nothing yet? No, maybe? Okay, there we go. All right. I just know that if my mic's not on, the people that are watching online will not hear me. So I'll wait for that. But now that we're on, we're good. All right, so let's go to chapter 8 in the book of John. Now, last week we were in chapter 6. And I'm going to get in. So this message is going to, it's almost going to have two parts to it. You're going to get the history lesson, what's going on in the day of Jesus in the culture. And then you're going to get the application part that you're going to take home today of what does that mean to us today. All right? And so I'm going to put this together, but I want to read scripture first, and then we'll talk about what's all going on here and get you kind of into the culture of Jesus' day. So notice there's two titles here. As we begin at verse 12, there's a dispute over Jesus' testimony. And then there, go down to verse 21, it says there's a dispute over who Jesus is. And then we're going to look at that. And then we're going to look at his second claim that I am the light of the world, is what he says here. And then we'll get it into our present day as well. So let's follow along with me as I read. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. If I am one who testifies for myself, my other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. Now, remember who he's talking to, right? He's got the religious leaders. And this is what he says to them. You do not know me or my Father. Might get under your skin a little bit, huh? Jesus replied, if you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Once more Jesus said to them, I'm going away and you will look for me. And you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you, they asked. Just what I've been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy. And what I have heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling him about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. The word of the Lord. I'm going to encourage you to keep your Bible handy. I'm going to reference another verse here this morning. But let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open this word here this morning, may you bring that word to life through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we learn from you today and your teaching and your words of how to live this Christian life. And so may your Spirit fall upon us today. May these words be yours, never mine. And may you fill me with that Spirit that you talk about in the Bible, Lord, your Holy Spirit. Lord, may it fill your people today that are gathered here in your house, those that are listening online at home. Lord, may you open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your teaching today. In Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. What do we know about light? What do you know about light? You can follow the screen. What do you know about light? Amen. Yeah, light gets rid of the darkness. So let me set the stage of what's going on here this morning. Notice that I got a few candles around. There's three up here. There's a couple in the front windows up here. And so Jesus is in the temple. He's in Jerusalem. Now, if you go back and you read chapter 7, he's been there for a few days already. He's done some teaching. And they are gathered there for the festival or the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths, which is done in the fall of the year. And it's in remembrance of God taking his people out of Egypt. He leads them by what at night? By fire, correct? And he leads them out of Egypt in the wilderness, eventually in the promised land. And so this festival, God said to his Israelites, he says, I want you to gather once a year to remember what I have done for you at the Feast of Tabernacles. And so what the people would do, the Jewish people, is they all go, all men were required to go, and of course they take their families with and so on, but they were required to go to the temple to worship. And when they got there, those that the religious leaders took care of the temple, they lit all kinds of candles inside the temple. And then many of the people that came from afar, they would bring their tents along, and they'd set tents up all outside the temple grounds. And they'd light candles on the ground around the tents and in the tents. And this is a reminder to them that what God had done with their ancestors as he took them out of the land of Egypt, right, the land of slavery, and he led them by fire at night. And so they had this. And so I want you to picture with me this morning what the temple might have looked like. Now, there's a picture on the screen I want you to see. It's lit up. It's bright. Those kind of things. And so we got these candles here this morning. And then Jesus in the midst of them. And you remember, there are thousands of people here at this point in the temple. It's full. And people see these lights, these candles are around. And then Jesus gets up and he begins to speak and he says this: I am the light of the world. Now, there's some controversy there. Because notice what's going on. Now, this light that they'd lit, these candles that were lit in the temple, they were all there and they were pointing to one God, the Father in heaven, who took them out of the land of Egypt. The light represented God. And then Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoa! Who does this guy think he is? So I want you to keep this picture in your mind of Jesus teaching in the temple. And as they get into this conversation here between the religious leaders of the day that were in the temple and so on, Jesus is there with all these people. And so as you think, go through this message this morning, think of the candles I have lit. Think of those pictures of what Jesus, I mean, it's a great illustration of what's going on. So he's telling them that I'm God. I am he. I'm here with you, standing here in flesh and blood, divine. Pretty amazing, isn't it? I am the light. And if you don't think that Jesus ever claimed to be God, this whole series is going to change that, hopefully, in your mind. Because it's always like that, in these I am statements that he brings out. So obviously, the Pharisees, they're not happy with this. This doesn't make any sense to them. He went past the unusual claim of enlightenment, and he claimed to be light itself. And not just any light, the light of the world. And that was reserved for God. And when he connected himself and he identified himself with God the Father, who gave them the Feast of Tabernacles, or Feast of Booths, so you might have heard of Sukkot, which had been the Hebrew word. That would have been this festival that was going on at the time. And then their response is recorded in John 8, 13 through 18 about how they feel about this. And they challenged Jesus in verse 13. Here you are, appearing to us in the temple as your own witness. And they say to him, your testimony doesn't mean anything to us. We don't believe you. Because in that day, if you understood the law, you had to have two witnesses in order to justify something that it was truth. You couldn't just say it on your own. And Jesus didn't have that according to their law. So they immediately discredit him, saying, well, anyone can say that you're the light of the world, but where's your proof? What do you have that proves that you are the light of the world if you say you are who you are? And if you read through scripture here, and I'm not going to pull out the verses one by one this morning, but the general gist is this. I don't need to live by your law, is what Jesus says. I live by what the Father tells me. And by the way, I could justify your law. I have witnesses. And so I want you to, this is kind of important to understand today, and I want you to realize who Jesus' witnesses are to his coming and who he is, because he's got four of them that we can speak of from Scripture today of who he is, all right? The first one is Jesus himself. He comes there and he says who he is. I am the light of the world. I'm connected to God the Father. Right? He has God the Father as his witness. He says that. The Father has sent me. I'm connected to him. I do exactly what he tells me to do to glorify him. Now you go back further in Scripture, and who prepared the way for Jesus to come? John the Baptist, a witness. Again, the third witness said, there's one coming greater than me, is what John says to the people. That this Christ is coming. He's on the way. And so John the Baptist is a witness. And then here's the fourth witness that you and I get to hold every day, and that is the prophetic word of God, especially in the Old Testament, where it's spoken about over and over and over of there's one coming, right? The Messiah. And so another witness would be the word of God in Jesus' day. Four witnesses that Christ could have produced. But they refused to accept any of these witnesses regarding Jesus. And then they get kind of down in the weeds just a little bit. In John 8, verse 19, they start questioning him. Where's your Father? And then he says, you do not know me or my Father. And Jesus replied, if you knew me, you would know my Father also. Now, how many of you remember that verse from last week? Anybody? All right. It's the same verse that we heard in John 6. Jesus makes the same claim again to the church. You don't know me because you don't know my Father. Now, remember when I stopped, I was reading the scripture, said, who's he talking to, congregation? Yeah, the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They would have known their Bible very well. So that's like me coming up to one of you this morning and saying, you know what? You're not a Christian because you don't know your Bible very well. See, Christ would have done the same thing to them. He said to them, you know, you got your book of rules, and yet you don't even know who the Father is. You got it all up here. You don't have it in your heart. You don't believe. And I think that they were on their track, mind was this. Who's your Father? They asked him. I think that they're thinking earthly. They're not even connecting him with the Father in heaven. They're not spiritually deep enough to even gather that in and understand that. Because they're trying to get him in a corner. Well, who's your Father? Thinking that it's an earthly Father. And he doesn't even answer the question, by the way. Skips right over that. And if you're with me, he's in verse 21 through 24 when he says this. Once more he said to them, I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. See, they're resistant. They don't want nothing to do with him. And you look at those statements, Jesus even gets a little bit harsh towards them. That if you don't understand who I am, and you don't figure this out, you're not going to have eternal life. There is no forgiveness of sins. It only comes through me, is what he says to them. And if they continue to oppose him, and if they continue to oppose his ministry, there's no hope for their salvation. And that brings me to my next thought that I want to share with you this morning. How many of you heard the term universalism? Anybody ever heard that thrown around the last few years and stuff like that? We have a world today that is full of universalism. And you say, well, what does that mean, right, if you don't know what that is? This is what universalism means. It's you can see it in America in a great way today. And it's a belief that there are many ways to heaven, that all gods will get you there, and that you can have your own truth. That's universalism. That is not what Jesus is teaching here. See, he's standing before the Pharisees, and the Pharisees think, well, this is how it's going to work, and da-da-da-da. And we're living in a world today that's the same way. All roads lead to heaven, right? I mean, how many of you seen that bumper sticker called coexist, right? You see that it's got all the different symbols of the different religions in the world that make up this word and so on. And that is such a lie. That's what Christ is teaching us here this morning. I am the light. The only way is through me. See, all those other religions are false, but here's the one key point. If you really want to get into a conversation with somebody that thinks that, oh yeah, you can get there in many different ways, bring this out. How do you satisfy sin? See, they have no answer for you because they don't have Jesus Christ. That's the problem. How do you deal with your sin? There is no method in those other religions. But there is in Christianity through Jesus Christ. And that's the difference, and that debunks universalism. So when you hear those words, oh, there's many ways to heaven. You know, you can believe in Allah, you can whatever you want to do. No, that's wrong. That's false. That's misleading. And a lot of the world lives there today in this type of belief, universalism. And Christ preaches directly to that. The only way that you can be saved from your sin is to receive eternal life is through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's it. You can be as nice as you want. You can be as good as you want. But if you don't have Christ, you have nothing. Nothing. Pay attention to what's going on in our world today. So here, we're going to switch gears a little bit. And so here's the application part that you need to know in your life today. So if Jesus is claiming to be the light of the world, what does that mean for us that Jesus is the light of the world? What does that give us today? And there's a couple of areas that I want to study with you this morning. There's three things that I want to bring out that I think are important for you and I to know and to understand. And here's the first one. The light of Jesus gives us freedom from darkness. Now, that might be, when you read that, yep, I get that, I understand that. Of course, we know that darkness is sin, it's death that we live in, that we're taken out of, right? He frees us from that. In fact, Jesus says this, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness because he's the light of the world. Your faith needs to be in him to receive this light, to be removed out of your sinful ways in your life, to have eternal life with him. And you have to choose that light. He works in your heart. The Spirit brings you along, brings you to a faith in Jesus Christ. But you ultimately have to choose the light. Do you have to ever choose darkness? Oh, it finds you all the time, doesn't it? That's real easy to find. But you have to choose the light, to follow it, to live in it. And you have to choose Jesus Christ. And so when you choose the light, let me just be real simple and straightforward with you here this morning. When you choose the light, what you're saying is that I'm going to be obedient to Jesus Christ and his teachings. That's it. That's when you decide to live in the light. If you choose sin, you choose darkness. Some people even come to church, choose sin. That's disobedience. And God says that the light isn't in you and you choose to live that way. Some are public. We see that, right? You can call that out. People living together. You choose to be disobedient. You choose not to live in the light. Right? If you're addicted to pornography, you choose to live in the darkness. You're not choosing obedience. You don't choose the light. See, I can keep going on and on and on. Whatever it may be. And I'm not picking on those sins for anything specific. But if you're going to live in the light, Jesus says you need to be obedient as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, does that, you know, if I was to process that further with you, God's grace is immense. But it doesn't mean that we willingly hang out in the darkness. It means that we gravitate towards the light and we might find ourselves in darkness, that we change what we're doing or the way that we live. That's what he's asking you and I to do. When he says, I'm the light, you wouldn't need to follow me. You know, we live in a pretty messed up world today, but and you can't have it both ways. I want you to, let's see here. Let me share this verse with you, 1 John. If you don't have this down, get this down. I don't have it on the screen here this morning. 1 John 1 verse 5, it says this. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to fellowship with Jesus and yet walk in darkness, meaning that we willingly choose sin to be disobedient, and we know it. Here, this is the important part. We lie and do not live in the truth. You're deceiving yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Live in the fullness of his light. Flee from that sinful way is what he says. Get away from it. So if we follow Christ, he leads us out of the darkness into the light. You get that. He leads us out of the wilderness into the promised land. He leads us out of this world of death and sin and in eternal life. So if I ask you, how many of you want to go to heaven today? You'd all put your hand up because you all want to go there. But then why is it that some of you choose to be sinful, to be disobedient, to be in the dark? And Jesus says, get away from that. You don't have to stay live there. There's freedom that you can find in Jesus Christ. Let's move to our second point this morning. The light of Jesus enables us to see and know the truth. This is probably the most important one that you'll leave here with today. I truly believe that. And when I explain this to you, you'll get why. All right? Now, this is very evident in our world today that we need truth. You see it all over. The religious leaders in Jesus' day, they didn't get it either. They didn't understand it. Right? Neither probably did most of the crowd till Christ started to preach and Christ is performing his miracles and hearts were changed and people began to follow Jesus Christ. And you cannot understand the truth without him and without the Holy Spirit. You get your Bibles out with me this morning. I want you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to show you something this morning. We live in a world today that there's so much spiritual blindness, so much darkness, so much evilness, and I want to show you what goes on in the world between those who believe in Jesus Christ and those who do not, and the way that our world is going today. First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Is everybody there with me? I want you to get this because this is so important for you as a follower of Jesus Christ. You cannot expect the world to function the way that we do as believers. You need to be aware of this and to understand this. And here's what we learn. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 16. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness
and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit.
So here's how that works. When you're a follower of Jesus Christ promises that He'll send the Spirit upon you. He will teach you how to live your life here upon this earth. But without Him, you are spiritually blind. You don't understand the Word of God. It makes no sense to you. You will live against the ways of God. You will tend to move towards the darkness. Do you think we live in a dark world today? Anybody want to state that? Yeah, they did in Jesus' day too, people. There's a difference. There are so many spiritually blind people today that live amongst us that create this ambience that you and I are feeling in the church that something's not right. I can put a name to it this morning. Let me give you one more Bible verse before I do that. John 8, 31 through 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, if you continue in My word, then you are truly My disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Right? He's the light that illuminates within us. When you understand that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you can open the Word of God and it starts to make sense to you. You leave here and you know that, okay, this is how God wants me to live when you come to church and you are spiritually awakened. We have another term that's going on in our world today that many of you know. And if you're not, let me just say, and this is not getting political, by the way. Don't ever think that. But there's a term today. How many of you heard the term wokeness? Anybody want to, have you heard it? Raise your hand out there if you heard it. Because if you haven't, you're like living it way, way in the dark. Right? But let me tell you what I think's going on today, people. You are in spiritual warfare with this whole wokeness movement. And it's hiding behind politics. And it's Satan that's making moves upon the church that you and I live in today. And Christ is saying, if you don't move away from some of that, see, now, remember what I said, the Spirit's not living upon you, you're not understanding any of this. It's making no sense to you. And so we live in a world today, either you're for Jesus Christ or you're not. And you've got to make a decision of where you're going to live your life. Because this whole wokeness movement that we don't need Christ, this whole separation of church and state, and we can't have prayer, this and that, in schools, that is all spiritual warfare. Darkness. And it's coming right at the church. And it's even starting to heat up here in the United States. That's what 1 Corinthians 2 teaches us. Don't expect them to get it. I'll even go as far as this. I think that people are being used that are in the dark as Satan's pawns. And this is the scary part. They don't even know they're getting used. But if you have the truth, your eyes are opened, you're going to be just fine. You're going to know where to stand. You're going to know what's right and what's wrong in the way that you live your life, right? You're going to know what's sinful and what's not. Do not expect the rest of the world to get it because they're blind. They live without the Spirit. They live without the light of Jesus Christ.
this is one of the most important for you to realize of where you're going to stand as a Christian today. You, church, you need to wake up. You got to be aware of what's going on around you. You need to pray. And this brings me to the third point. This is Jesus' whole point that you and I need to be aware of today as we live, because there is a war going on, people, and you need to be aware of it. Here's the third thing that I want to share with you. The light of Jesus gives us a light of our own. All right? Now, there's responsibility that comes with that, and it's a heavy responsibility. And I think we've gotten a little light on it, to be honest with you, in the church. All right? Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. I'm going to just read you a couple. You are the light of the world. You know the verse. You are set on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand so everyone can see. You have the responsibility to be the light of the world in Christ's absence. When he returned back to heaven from earth, right, after he rose from the dead, he hung out for a while, and then he returned to heaven, and he gave us the Spirit on Pentecost, and that's a season we're working through right now. He said, when I leave this place, I'm going to give you the Spirit of God, and you need to be the light to so much spiritual darkness. Now, remember what I said to you earlier? If you're going to choose the light, you're choosing obedience. And God says to you and I, you go be the light. Share the goodness of who he is, the news of forgiveness and being set free, and what love looks like and what truth looks like and how you're supposed to live morally and ethically according to what I teach you in the Bible. Here's a big question. Are you being obedient to that? To your neighbors, to your friends, on Saturday night, on Tuesday when the boss is mad at you, you know, whatever it might be, a relationship that's maybe falling apart. What does that obedience look like in your life? Because you say you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You want the light. And boy, do we ever need the light today. And I want you to be there. I want you to be there. But it's not always easy. Jesus sends you into the world. John 17, verse 18. You are called to be the light. You need to stand on the side of Jesus Christ in the way you live life. It's that simple. You know, the crowd, they're having this conversation, and they're trying to figure out, you know, he's claiming who he is and all this. And then they finally just come straight out, and they ask this question. Who are you? Right? And, of course, Jesus explaining them the whole entire time. By the way, he was teaching in the temple just a day or two before, doing all kinds of things in there as well of who he was, trying to gather people around him and saying, I am he. And then he's the second time he's in there preaching, and he's in the temple, and remember the lights are all lit up and it's bright in there, and I'm the light, people, get it? I am he. And they're still not getting it. And so I ask you this morning, who's Jesus to you? And what are you going to do with it? Don't simply just come to church on Sunday morning to hear Rob preach. Do something with it. Live it out in your life. Be the light. Be blessed today. How many of you have received blessings from God in your life? Anybody want to? Yeah. God is a good God. God does amazing things. If you want to have an exciting life, you want to live on the edge. That's a Chip Ingram thing, by the way, if you listen to Christian radio, right? Follow Jesus. you'll be in for a ride of your life. It'll be amazing. You'll be blessed beyond measure. But you got to live on the edge with the light of Christ. Don't be scared. He'll be right there. Go live it. That's my encouragement for you today, church. Go live it. Be in the light. Choose the light. And all God's people said, let's pray. Lord, I am so thankful that you sent your son. Lord, that he walked this earth, that he taught us how to live and to choose him as our Lord and Savior. You. I thank you for giving us your son. Lord, as we go through this series of I ams, Lord, may we know who we're talking of here, that you are the one and only God and Father, the Son, who set us free and empowers us by the Holy Spirit today. We worship you, the triune God. Lord, may we choose light. And when we find ourselves in darkness, may we flee it. Lord, may we live this out every day in our lives. Lord, help us to do that through your Spirit. May you speak to us in our minds of what we should be doing and what we should not be doing. And may we be obedient to that calling. May we pursue you with all our heart. And Lord, we know that there will be blessings in return that you shower upon us. How you care for us, how you love us. Lord, we thank you today for your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom I pray. Amen.